Hello, everybody. Welcome to another brand new episode of It's About Bravo. I'm Zach.
I'm Reed.
And it's just the gays on this episode here.
What the hell are we going to do now?
It's been a long time since it's just been two gays, the dolls, the girls.
The dolls, the girls.
The girls.
Bring back.
Remember your girls.
Remember the girls.
Shelby and Dolly.
I miss you, Zach. It's fun to be on the mic with you today and talk about Bravo.
Yeah, and we do miss our dear Annie and Maddie, but it's going to be fun, just a little kiki with two bottoms. Just kidding.
You need to quit painting my narrative. You need to quit narrating.
You got to quit painting.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, we have a lot to get into this week, specifically with stuff that's actually like didn't air. It's not an episode. Mm-hmm. My opinion is going to be a little bit jam-packed today. So let's just get right into...
That's my opinion!
All right. First of all, we are going to talk about what is going on in the OC. I know you guys have been in the DMs. You guys have been talking to us about it. What'd you say?
9-11.
Guys, they hit the Pentagon. The Trace Amigas have broken up. They've hit the Pentagon.
A second Trace Amiga has left
the... the building.
A trace. A Trace Amiga has left. A Trace Amiga has left Orange County.
You're so stupid. Guys, the Trace Amigas are no more. They're no more, but you want to know what? I'm really not that distraught about it. I'm really not beat up about it because I have this theory, and I think a lot of you guys do based on what you guys have been DMing us, is that this is all just a ploy to get Vicky Gunvalson her orange back. They were like, I could just see it. I could see Tamara being like,
okay.
Oh my gosh, they gave you the Lifetime Achievement Award. They gave you the Lifetime Achievement Award. It's fucked up, Vicky. It's fucked up. You know what? We could actually just fake a feud because they need to have a feud on the season. They need to have preseason feuds or whatever. I think one of two scenarios happened. One is super fabricated, and the other is actually a little bit less fabricated, but still fabricated to an extent. Okay. So my first theory, let's go with the one that's like less fabricated, is that obviously John Jansen is now dating Alexis Bellino, Jesus Jugs.
Mm-hmm.
And Alexis Bellino is going to be brought onto the season. Rumor has it that she has signed her contract. That's what the streets are saying. Whether that's in a friend of role or full time, we will see what happens. But I think that obviously Shannon is spiraling. I think that she's going through it. I feel horrible for her. John Jansen is very reminiscent of somebody in my life that I know. So I feel for my girl Shannon. But I think that Tamara befriending Alexis has caused some friction. And then either Vicky was like, you know what? I'm going to be team Shannon to just ride with her so that I can get my orange back and like fight with Tamara. Or it's just a whole scheme that Todd made.
A scheme that Todd set up for him to come to you with the booze.
I keep quoting that quote wrong. It's a scheme. I think the Trace Amigas got together and were like, listen, how do we get the Trace Amigas back on? We can just start the feud off kind of like we did last season where me and Shannon were fighting and then we became friends again and it, you know, things like that. Yeah. I think that it's a whole ploy to get Victoria Gunvalson her orange back.
Have you seen the Netflix classic Do Revenge?
That's the one with Sophie Turner where she's like, I don't do cocaine.
Yes. Do Revenge is, for me, it was giving like Mean Girls. It's really, really good. But the premise is these two girls want to get revenge on their own people, but they don't want to be caught. So they kind of like meet in the bathroom and are like, what if we do each other's revenge? Like, no one will ever see that coming. We like get revenge on the other people on behalf of each other. No one knows we're friends. I feel like this is reminiscent of that. Like Tamara and Alexis Bellino and Shannon and Vicky were in the bathroom. And Tamara was like, wait, you guys, I have an idea. It's going to sound crazy, but it just might work. And then the next scene is like them completely engineering this entire thing. That would be so funny. I definitely think there is a level of it that is like done for the cameras. But it also feels like Shannon and Tamara really do hate Vic. Shannon and Vicky really do hate Tamara right now.
It's one of those things where it could go either way. It's either possibility is very likely. It's not completely out of the realm of possibility that
they've fought before.
They've fought so many times.
The Trace Amigas could come back. I mean, is it really? We're acting like the Trace Amigas are no more. I mean, what about?
No, like, I fully.
We're gonna see a photo of them like next spring, like in.
I fully believe that they probably will. Like, I just think that it's convenient that it's right at the time that people are starting to get their contracts or people are signing on full time or they're signing friend of role. I mean, as far as we know with the negotiations and what people are saying on Twitter, Alexis Bellino just signed her contract. It's been very, we don't know for sure yet.
What seasons was she on OC?
She was, I believe, like 5 or 6 all the way up to like 8.
Okay.
I think she might have been like 5. She was like, she was during the golden era of like Orange County. So it would be like very interesting to see Alexis, Vicky, Tamara, Heather, and Shannon like all together.
Because I'm a baby in my OC world. I watched last season. It's on my 2024 resolution, you guys, is to finally get caught up on OC and Jersey. Almost done with Atlanta. But everything else I have seen, I really enjoyed the last season of OC. And it does seem like bringing back some of the, not like actual OG, but kind of from this golden era, if you will, seems to be like making it work better, right? Like,
I think that the magic. I think right now, I think this could lead into a bigger discussion on how we fix certain shows, which is a blend of old school and new school. Like Miami worked really well.
Miami should be the blueprint.
Yeah, it should be like the gold standard of reboots, to be honest with you.
It's like a half reboot. And we've talked about that so many episodes on this podcast. I think that's what we're hoping will happen with Atlanta. We've talked about that ad nauseum. I feel like after Ultimate Girls Trip Running Legacy, which I wanted to ask you about, it feels like, well, I don't think this is actually going to happen. It feels like everyone's pushing, like, mix them up. Bring Sonia, Dorinda, and Luann in with Bryn, Jessel. Like, you're seeing that everywhere, even though I'm not sure that's realistic. But that seems to be what people want. They want a blend.
I think a mix. I think with Atlanta that would work. I think the only franchise it wouldn't work with is Potomac.
With our my opinion, but like we were going to talk about that too. And I'm with you. I'll let you finish, but I'm with you.
Here's the reason why I think that Potomac wouldn't benefit from that style of reboot. I mean, obviously it still would have to kind of be that style anyways, because I don't know, we're only on season 8. And I feel like Potomac has never had a big shakeup, like a huge shakeup.
Where they've had
the OGs have carried the show for a long time.
It still feels like the same show.
It still feels like the same show with like a couple newbies, where like Atlanta had to go, like they had the renaissance of Kenyon Portia and like Cynthia Phaedra and make like the new kind of like Atlanta. And same thing with like some other franchises, you know.
Yeah.
So I feel like Potomac hasn't had that. I feel like if Potomac needs like 2 amazing heavy hitter newbies to carry the storylines into like a different direction.
So someone had pointed out, they posted a picture of, was it season 5 of Roni, the cast? They were like, the original reboot.
It is the original.
And
reboot,
I never really thought of season 5 of Roni as like any sort of reboot, but holy shit, if you think about it, they ditched Jill, Bethany, Kelly.
And yeah, we've talked about like
Yeah, Ramona, Sonia, Luann, right? And then we had Aviva, Carol, and Heather. It was the first time. It was literally half and half. It's what the Miami reboot did.
It did. It is. And like, you know that quote that me and Mo always quote, right? Like that scene, like we've talked about it on the podcast before, where it's when they did the reboot and they fired all of them. And then Wendy Williams talked about it.
Fired.
Jill Zarin fired. Jill, the people are cheering.
Jill Zarin fired. Jill, people are cheering.
Fired. Why don't you like that? She's like, look, that woman's happy. Why do you, what's wrong with Kelly? I don't like her. You don't like her? I don't like her. And it's like, yeah, so I feel like that, but you know,
Potomac hasn't had that. Yeah, Potomac is still.
I think Potomac has to have. I feel like that has to happen with Potomac soon.
Yeah, and guys, so we have on the It's About Bravo microphones have made the decision going forward this season in Potomac. We're probably not going to recap it every week. We've been giving it really short recaps at the end of our episodes. It's just not piquing our interest, and Potomac is one of my favorite franchises. It's actually the first full franchise I watched, and I really want it to do well. So I'm gonna still watch it because I just can't miss out. But we will talk about anything noteworthy that happens, and we might revisit when the reunion comes around. But
you're not missing much. They're still in Austin, Texas. So
I know this last episode really did me in, guys. I texted Zach and I texted everybody, and I was like, should we just not cover it every week? I don't know if anybody is really like looking for it right now, which sucks because they are so good when they're good. They're so good when they are good.
It is really tragic. It's really tragic. But you know what? I haven't lost faith in Potomac, and I knew this was going to happen, and it's inevitable. It's inevitable. And I talked about it last year on the mic. I said, Potomac, it's only a matter of time before their flop era comes. Like, you cannot ride the high forever. Like,
they've been
it's
pretty
impossible.
Consistent.
They were very consistent, but even the mighty will fall. Like, Rome does fall, you know? I mean, look at Atlanta. Falls. Atlanta was Rome to me. Like, Atlanta was like
Atlanta
the
was
cream
the,
of the crop.
Atlanta
like,
the, was like, the Greek empire, and Potomac was the Roman empire.
This is our Roman empire. This is Reed's Roman
this
empire.
Is the Roman this empire.
The fall.
No, it's tragic, but I do think, you know, they have the potential to turn things around. I think a little Roni season 5 or Real Housewives of Miami season 4 style reboot could work really well. Keep a few, introduce a bunch of new ladies. It doesn't mean that the others have to be gone forever. They could be in a friend capacity, or they could come back a few seasons later. Like, there's so much potential. But to your point, we're still kind of, it's like era one of Potomac still. Like, we need a new era. We need a new era, and they haven't had that yet. So we will continue to root for them. We just probably won't cover every episode every week.
If there is an era of Potomac,
Katie Ross era.
There was before Monique's departure and after Monique's departure.
Yeah,
in my mind, like, it's like, I think the show took like a shift after Monique left. I feel like she was the one that kind of like fought the OGs. She kind of kept the Green Bandits on their toes. She kind of like
she came in season 2, right?
Yeah.
And Giselle hated her right away. I just remember
right away. I have 4 homes. You don't have a home? I have 4 homes.
Yeah, I think you could probably say era one ended with the departure of Monique.
But I don't even think that's like, to your point, I don't think that's like a big era. I think that
it was
right now we're still in like the season, not the season one, but like this part one of the Potomac
like
era.
Part one of their story. Yeah. So they have such a long future ahead of them. I just think that they need to make a few changes. It looks like the producer, like the main producer for Atlanta and Potomac, was fired this week from Bravo, which fired. Jill Zarin fired. You know, thoughts and prayers to him. Obviously, it's not no one we want, don't want anybody unemployed, but it seems like they are trying to go in a new direction. So we'll see.
We'll see what happens, because Lord knows it needs to go to a new direction.
What about Roni Legacy? I know you and Maddie covered most of it. And then I thought we had like 3 episodes left. And that week they were like, season finale. What did you think? I was kind of like, damn, it kind of ended. It ended at non-eventful, but the whole thing was rather non-eventful. And it was still really fun to watch. So
no shame. I had a good time. I don't know about anyone else. I had fun. I laughed. I thought it was funny. I think that in an ideal world, I would like a Miami reboot of Roni. And like, in an ideal world. And here's my cast. Okay. Yeah. Bring in Bryn Whitfield. Okay. Jessel Tank. Give me Dorinda Medley. Give me Kelly Ben-Simone. Give me Luann de Lesseps. And then give me Erin Dana Leachy. 6 people, 6 full-time wives. Give me a newbie, like one newbie that we haven't met yet. I prefer Julia Fox. And then make Sonia and maybe like Uba friend-ofs. And I think we have a really strong cast. That's my opinion.
Sonia's giving like Marisol in this, like,
yes,
this thing, which is really funny.
But keep it like Miami, how like the friend ofs get solo scenes and scenes with the other girls and things like that, like how Miami is.
People were like, I can't believe Adriana DeMora is not a housewife. And I'm like, but she is. Like, she's a friend of, I know, but the women on Miami are housewives. We get so much of them, and that's what they could do with Roni too.
We just had a solo scene of Marisol saging her house.
Yeah, and Kiki had a new confessional this week, I thought.
She has like 3 or 4, and they're so all good. Stunning.
Yeah. And then you've got Adriana in that little hat and dress. I did not mean to start World War III, but it was kind of entertaining.
I think the Miami style reboot, the Roni style, like the original Roni style reboot, is just the way to go with reboots. I don't think like there needed to be a whole.
Well, because now you have all these Roni
clean slate.
You have all these like Roni reboot naysayers. You isolated your fandom so much by doing what you did, and I think that from like, I don't know, a marketing perspective, maybe it would have been smarter to like dip our toes into change instead of like throwing us headfirst into the deep end of the pool of change. You know, I think that like nobody wanted to get fully wet and Bravo pushed.
It caused a civil war. Let's be real.
It really just created a divide. The smalls and the talls. And I don't know. I think Roni Legacy sort of made me think of 2 things. I don't know if we need, y'all know I love Ultimate Girls Trip. I don't think if we need 2 Ultimate Girls Trips a year. I think they should be more thoughtful about what these are going to be going forward. And they need to release the lost season.
We need to see what happened.
Let the people speak. Let the people decide. And then second thing it taught me is I would be okay with a legacy type of spinoff that is not every year, and it could be like we could get Roni Legacy, and it could be just like some of the women from this Ultimate Girls Trip Roni Legacy. Maybe you got Jill Zarin, God forbid Bethany and her fierce jaw come back, but you could have it, and then maybe 2 years later they do another season, and guess what? It's still got maybe like Luann or Sonia, but then maybe it's got some other women that are from the old Roni. Like, it could just be like every time they do it, we get a different mixture. We get different updates. You get just enough of an update on some of these women's lives. And you think to yourself, okay, I enjoyed you in 2008 or whatever, but I'm glad that you're not like permanently back now. I got just enough from you for those 6 episodes. I can let you rest for a couple more years before I'm curious what Kelly Ben-Simone is doing again. And I think the same thing is true for almost any housewife show. Like, they could do Beverly Hills Legacy, and we could get a little bit of updates from like the Maloof Hoof, Lisa Vanderpump, T- Taylor Armstrong. You could do so many different Yolanda, Carlton, Eden Sassoon. Let's throw her in the mix. You could really do this with
not Eden. Oh my gosh.
You could do Atlanta Legacy, and we could get plenty of those women back that don't make it on whatever this new shakeup is going to look like. So I'm just trying to say that I don't think it needs to be Ultimate Girls Trip blank Legacy. You could just do a new Peacock spinoff series called Legacy or Roni Legacy, Beverly Hills Legacy, yeah. Atlanta Legacy. And it doesn't have to be every year. It doesn't have to be a fixed schedule. Just whenever you feel like it and whenever there's people worth talking about and catching up with.
I agree. And I am conflicted about the Roni and the state of Roni, because I did like a lot of the women and I did like a lot of the cast of the reboot, but I still love my OGs. But with Ultimate Girls Trip, yes, I did have a good time. Yes, I did laugh. But a lot of them, to everyone's point, do have these storylines that are just like, where is this? It's kind of done, you know? And as much, I know it's problematic to say, it's very problematic to say here, as much as I do love the Ramona Singer on television, let me preface that, on television, okay, her story is kind of done. It's kind of done. She met a man. She doesn't even really want to share much about him on camera, which is very, like, wise.
And they edited the fuck out of her out, too. You know they did. But
I don't think, after watching it, I don't think they did. I think that she just stepped back a little bit. Because she still had, like, a good amount of confessionals. She still was in, like, certain, like, scenes and stuff. They were talking about her with the dinner, with, like, the middle seat thing and everything like that. Like, she's there. It's, like, it's kind of hard to cut someone out when it's so isolated. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's different when you're in the city and we have to have pickup scenes and solo scenes and you cut somebody out. But when you're on an island,
Beverly Hills is clearly cutting out Anna Marie Wiley and Crystal. I mean, we're getting nothing from these women. That's a real erasure that I'm not totally upset about, at least with regard to Anna Marie. But And I alternate how I say her name. I say Anna Marie, and then the next time I'll say Anne Marie. I can't really.
I feel like they alternate her name too. It's kind of like I think that's why it's confusing.
Versus the Berenstain Bears. Like, I'm not sure if it's Anna Marie or Anne Marie, and I feel like every time I look, it's different.
It's a Mandela effect.
Did you know that for a year I thought Mary Cosby was Mary Crosby, and
Mo did too, but I had to tell her
it's the Berenstain Bears effect. I swear there was an R there. I swear there was an R before the O, and then the Bravo, Watch What Happens Live, tweeted Mary Crosby, and Mary Cosby got angry and commented back. And I was like, I'm not the only one. See, people are using the R, Crosby. I'm not sure. We live in the Twilight Zone.
I know.
We live in the Twilight Zone.
But I do think it was a little bit of a, like, to your point, I do feel like it's a little bit of, like, a send-off for some of them. But there are some that I feel could kick it with the new girls. And I think Luann could kick it with the new girls. I think Dorinda could kick it with the new girls. I think that Kelly could kick it with the new girls.
No.
Yes.
I think, okay, the new girls, I actually really enjoyed the Roni reboot for what it was. I do think it was lacking a bit of drama, and they could always do better with that. I'm kind of wondering if we're going to get that from this Dubai season 2, if we ever get it. But I wonder, like, if maybe Luann, for example, a Dorinda, a Sonia, they maybe would stir the pot just enough to kind of get to activate everybody else on the rebooted cast, to your point. So I could see that sort of being maybe the tinder that's needed to get the fire going. But if I was thinking about, like, who maybe is more in the same place in their life as these new women on Roni, I would think of some of the younger girls. And so I would think of, like, Tinsley, Leah, Kristen Teekman.
Stop saying Teekman. It's Teekman. I'm gonna freaking kill you. Reed gets on this damn podcast and mispronounces housewives' names all the goddamn time.
I wish that I could say just now that I did that to fuck with you, but it came out naturally, and I immediately knew.
Kristen, you said it like Nicole, like Kristen Teekman, Anna Kinkosis. That's my favorite. I understand what you're saying, and I understand the whole making it a younger vibe, but we've seen it work with the older women and younger women on Miami. Marisol is not a spring chicken. Alexia is not a spring chicken. Adriana is not a spring chicken. Like, those women are working with, like,
Nicole.
It kind
of works on every franchise now that you say that, because part of what makes Potomac so fun is Karen Huger, Ashley Darby. You have that mixture of perspectives from being different ages in the group.
I don't like when it is all young influencer looking like women. I get irritated.
That might actually be what was maybe, I don't want to say wrong with the Roni reboot, because again, I liked it, but like, what maybe was missing?
They were missing an elder. They were missing an elder. I'm sorry.
They had an elder, but she didn't want to be on camera.
Jenna Lyons doesn't really even freaking count. Like, I don't look at Jenna Lyons as like particularly old. I look at her like youthful with like gray hair, you know, like it's.
Yeah. And like, she's lesbian as well. And I feel like that adds a flair of youth to you. Julia, I don't really consider Julia to be old, but then Martina definitely looks kind of old.
Yeah. Who does Martina look like? She looks like that one.
I think Martina looks old. Okay, I don't think, but I think Martina's old, honestly, by nature of being, like the tennis player, like Dom of the marriage.
Oh my God! Let's wrap up my opinion. Those are our Roni theories. Those are our theories about reboots and cast shakeups, and what we think about the Orange County season going forward. But we do have some Patreons coming up that we just want to talk about. Drag Race right now is gearing up. We just had the first part of the premiere. We have the second part of the premiere that is going to be out once this episode airs. So stay tuned for that Patreon. And then we also have The Traitors.
Cannot wait for The Traitors. We get three episodes of The Traitors this weekend. Tamra, Sheree, Phaedra, Larsa. It's Larsa. We're definitely doing a Patreon on that. I think Maddie and I are going to do a Patreon on Drag Race this weekend as well. So stay tuned for some new episodes there.
I really didn't like the first part of the Drag Race premiere, but okay. It was fine. But I will say that Mirage song has been stuck in my head all week. It's like, I'm not a bitch. Well, it was all now.
I think this second batch of ladies is going to be fierce. So we'll see what happens. And I don't know how excited I am, but we are getting a season 2 of RuPaul's Drag Race UK versus the world. And the rumored cast includes girls from franchises that have not been on a Verse the World yet, like Spain, France, Holland. I'm actually Philippines. I'm really excited to see.
Well, Holland was on.
Holland's been on, and Down Under's been on. And then, of course, Canada, America, and the US and the UK have been on. But this season allegedly has a girl from Spain, a girl from France, a girl from the Philippines, and they also have Down Under and Holland represented. So they have the US, UK, and Canada represented. So this is actually going to be the most diverse cast of RuPaul's Drag Race, like something versus the world they've had. So I'm really excited to see that, because they haven't really had the girls that speak other languages on yet. Like, I guess Holland kind
of. It's so confusing, because I feel like they have this UK versus the world thing, or Canada versus the world and things like that. But then they also are coming out with like an all-stars, like an Olympics kind of one, where it's like each country has one representative.
Is that, I thought that was like a rumor. Do we know more about that? Is that like a thing?
I don't know. But I heard that Alyssa Edwards was supposed to be the one representing.
Wait, that sounds so fun. Yeah, I definitely think the Verse the World is like the junior league, but it's still really fun to see, like, especially if you're watching. I'm watching.
I liked the first one.
It was pretty good. It had a lot of queens that I liked on it, like Jujubee and Lemon. And then, of course, Canada versus the World had Jimbo before Jimbo did All Stars 8. But yeah, I think like the Verse the World, give me more. I don't care. I like seeing all these mixtures of queens interacting, and it's just more content to binge. The new season of Canada's Drag Race with Melinda Verga is hilarious. I'm loving it. So yeah, I'm kind of back in my Drag Race bag. I'm glad that it's back.
I'm glad somebody is, because I have Drag Race fatigue. So
I did have Drag Race fatigue, but I think it's been long enough. I'm ready to be heard again.
Period. All right. Well, that is...
That's my opinion!
Now let's get into our recap of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
People with families, with small children, with businesses. I am a pillar in the community in Salt Lake City, and I have always had a really incredible reputation.
Because we don't have footage of you.
At a minimum, have called me a fraud. Oh. I have multiple personality disorder. I'm a lying bitch. You criticize my marriage. You criticize my business. You threaten to take a hit on my family. You call me a trampoline with eyes.
That was a compliment.
That I have used my son as a pawn to take the heat off me for rumors that I did not spread.
You, okay, I can't I'm keep up. Let's going do this to get one fired, by one.
So that's why I started rumors about you, that you made me relevant and you threatened me in the cave. And those are just a few I could think of off the top of my head.
This is great. I do think I activated you.
All right, guys, let's talk about part one of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake Reunion. I am still currently on a high from the finale. Like, I talk about it every chance I can get.
That's all I think about. Actually, my Roman Empire, I think. Like, I just think about reality Von T's all day long.
All day, every day. But this reunion reminded me of like the olden days reunions, like where it's like it was an event. We couldn't wait for the reunion. You had to see the reunion.
You sit down for the reunion.
Sometimes like I feel that these reunions are just rehashings of things, but then there's reunions like this where questions are going to be answered. People are going to go face to face for the first time in months. It's just more of an event than it is just a recap. I feel like sometimes it's like a recap and you're just like, oh, here's how the season went, blah, 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 blah. And sometimes it's like, dun, 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 dun. It's like, well, bring out the gladiators.
They kind of like have become just expected with every season of every housewife, of every Bravo, almost every Bravo show. And I think because they're expected, Bravo does them. But think about it. Not every season needs a three-part reunion or a four, God forbid, a four-part. Not every season, dare I say, even needs a reunion. I think that some seasons in the history of Housewives could have gone with a shorter reunion or no reunion or a Watch What Happens Live reunion. And so this is one of those seasons that absolutely called for one. And I know we can't get away from the Scandoval comparisons, but Monica walking onto set after everybody else and it's like dead quiet reminded me so much of when Raquel or Rachel walked out on set and everyone's just like, like it's the same energy.
I also have to say about Monica, I don't think that we have seen a housewife quite like her since Brandy Glanville. She is so Brandy Glanville coded. It's unreal. The comparisons, it's truly
She took the Brandy Glanville pill and the effect started working immediately.
Immediately. And even in the reunion, you know, her energy gives Brandy Glanville that reunion energy where like Brandy Glanville would be like, I'm not talking to you, bitch. Shut up. Like, you can't even get a period anymore. Like, shut up. Like, we're Monica.
Bench-warming,
like,
bitch.
Bench-warming, bitch. Shut up. No one's talking to you, bench-warming, bitch. That's why no one cared about you and you were, like, not shown in half the season.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, she's just super reactive and it says whatever's on her mind and it's, like, it's great to watch. Like, guys. I'm sorry. Like, Monica is so good to watch.
Listen, as a self-proclaimed Monica hunt, I really wanted to continue rooting for her. And like, listen, there are parts of the episode where I still really was rooting for Monica. This was a moment where I was like, ooh, that's not like as soon as she.
Oh,
like,
that's not.
As soon as Monica just turned really quickly on Angie, was like, shut the fuck up, you bitch warming bitch. I was like, oh, no, that's Monica. No, Monica, put the gun down. Put the gun down.
That's where I thought she ate. I thought she ate so hard with that one.
Oh, she tore.
But where I was like, oh, that's not, was when she was being asked about basically viewing herself as the Kim K to the Paris Hilton archetype of Jen Shaw to try to get onto the show. And she's saying, like, I've never even compared myself. Jen was my friend. I was doing all this shit for free for her. I just loved her. Blah, 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 blah. And Heather's like, really? So you didn't think that you were like the Kim Kardashian to Paris.
Set her fucking up.
As she knew. Heather has truly, truly done an about face for me. Truly done an about face for me. I can't believe it. She looks at her. So also, face card never declines. My God. She is looking her beat. She is looking amazing at the reunion, Heather.
Heather looks
phenomenal. She looks really good.
Yeah. I personally think every single one of them looked really good at the reunion.
I think that almost all of them looked
even
good.
The trampoline with the eyes.
I think that Whitney's was a little.
Well, okay.
I'm not the best. Does Whitney look like pretty? Like, sure, she's Whitney Rose. Like, she looks pretty, but like the dress isn't cute. The hair is weird.
I thought Angie Kay looked really nice.
I did too. I think she looks really good.
I've come around. Like, I don't think I ever hated Angie Kay. I always have said,
I'm an Angie Kay. I'm an Angie Kayinator.
I think we are part of the special K. You know, I think. Is that instead of the hive?
It should be called the Special K. I am a member of the Special K. Like,
I'm part of the Special K Mafia.
Like, she won me over, and we're just kind of jumping around with this reunion, but Angie K really won me over on this reunion when she looked at Monica and she's like, shut the fuck up. You parked your Range Rover under a carport.
the credits were on the screen. The episode was ending. And I was waiting on it just to be done. And they really squeezed in one more really good eat there in the credits. Cause she's like, you park your Range Rover under a carport.
You're buying bags with your kids' money.
Yikes. Yeah. And then Monica, of course, leave my fucking kids out of your mouth. It was insane. I know we're going to get so much more in part two and part three. And you know, they couldn't give all of the reality Von T's of it all. Right now, they want us to tune in for parts two and three. I thought they gave us the right amount. Andy did a really good job kind of circling back, like talking about it and then kind of pivoting to other things. I thought to myself, oh, they actually did other things this season.
I know. It's a jam-packed season. But what I was saying before, our brains, we just totally like pivoted. But when Heather brings out the phone and plays the voice memo of Monica being like, Kim Kardashian had a start as an assistant and look at where she's at today and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, ooh, oh, Monica, that's not. I was like, oh, my God, you got caught like red handed lying like within 2 seconds. Like, it didn't even take that long to whack her.
Can I put my clown nose on? Okay.
Go ahead.
Right, I'm putting my clown nose on. I'm putting my clown shoes on. I'm putting on my clown makeup. That actually did not come off to me that cringe. I think that's very smart because in the voice.
No, memo, that's not.
In the, voice memo, in the voice memo, she also says, what did she say? She said, Kim Kardashian was a fucking stylist and look at her now. Yes, I can fully admit that 100% of the reason that I'm working for Jen is as a stepping stone and as a learning experience. And honestly, Zach, I don't think that's that crazy to say as a stepping stone,
and as a learning experience.
That's like a very entrepreneurial way to look at working for Jen Shah.
Yeah, thank you. Reed, that's not the part that I'm upset about. I'm not mad I'm not mad, period, at all at Monica. I really don't care.
Right.
But like, what I'm saying is that she said not a mere 2 seconds prior to Heather pulling out her phone that she never said that. She was like, no, I was nice. She was my friend. I just worked for her. I just did it for free. I did it out of the goodness of my own heart. And then Heather literally goes, you didn't say that you just did it because Kim K did it. It's a stepping stone to get you where you need to be. She's like, no. And then Heather's like, well, and then presses play. And then she says it. It would be different if she like owned up to it. Like, I don't think anyone's mad at her for doing the stepping stone, but she literally was like, no, I never said that.
And the way that when it gets to that part in the voice memo, Monica goes, yep. Like she just like tries to own it, but it's too late because she already disowned it. And I think that it reminds me of, you know how people like to joke that like SZA is a chronological liar. And even when SZA was in her crutches at the Grammys, and her and Doja won for the Kiss Me More song, and she like stops using the crutches and just walks up on stage. People are like, she is such a fucking liar. And I think that that is kind of the Sheree Whitfield is also like someone who can't stop lying. Like, she just lies spring, summer, September. Just the truth don't live in the bitch. I feel like Monica is also one of those people, and it's kind of really funny to watch because she's trying to think of how she's thinking to herself at any given moment, how much of the truth do I have to tell right now to get to the next level, like to survive?
And she does. She thinks that. Yeah, I was thinking about that while I was watching the reunion too. She is currently working in her brain on how she's going to get to the next.
How much do I have to admit? And then as soon as she gets caught with this voice memo, she goes, "Yep, I said that. Yep."
But I got one of my favorite parts besides that was when Heather was pulling the phone out and Andy's like, oh, do you have like receipts? You know, are you gonna read it? And what did Lisa? She said, I think we're gonna listen to it.
Lisa,
I think we're gonna listen to it.
Core four and probably Angie K as well have commiserated. They know what they're planning to do tonight at the reunion. So Heather has told them all, hey, I have these voice memos, I have these things. You cannot make this up. It's like a movie because Monica sits there and she goes, yes, Heather, I would love for you to read that. And it's like, oh, that's not. And you hear Lisa go, oh, actually, I think we're going to listen. It's movie dialogue. This is written in Hollywood. I swear to God.
It's so true. And also for anyone who is like, you like Monica, she's a liar. I'm like, name a housewife who isn't. Name a housewife who isn't. I would say there's degrees to the level of like lying, but like I'd say a good 50% of them are just as bad as Monica with lying. I mean, they're not running fan accounts like that. But I would say a lot of housewives lie. And I think it's kind of funny. Like with Sheree, like when she lies, it's not any like damning kind of lie. It's just like her trying to get to the next spate.
Yeah,
Karen Huger's lies. You know, it's like it's just they're funny. It's like they're a liar. And it's like, I really don't care.
It's like a Mario side scroller. You're just jumping up and over the flame balls. You're hitting the Goombas. You're just trying to get to that flagpole so you can get to the next level. This is what Monica Garcia is doing. She's like, how much do I have to concede right now without like completely giving in? There was that clip of her when Heather's calling her out at the Bermuda dinner, and she's holding her neck with her hand and she's looking in the air and she's got like one tear, and you can just, someone had said on Twitter, this is the face of someone thinking in real time how little of the truth they have to give out right now to like survive. And it made me think about, she looks red-handed whenever, and this is this. So Heather did that at the dinner, and then Heather did it again at the reunion. She goes, oh, so would you say that you lied?
She just, yeah, it's like you know the truth. It's kind of like when you're talking to your mom and you know that she knows, and you're like, well, how much do you know? I'm going to like play it out, you know? And then all of a sudden she brings the receipts and she's like, well, I found these beers in your closet. So, and, oh, that's not, you know, it's like,
that's actually a good point, Zach. I do think that part of Monica's trauma with her mother and her childhood has probably led this inner child to sometimes taking the lead. I don't think Monica is always childish. I think that maybe there's an inner child within her that with related to trauma is, that's the liar. That's the one that's kind of maybe the reactive one, to your point, the one that says things that then they're like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have called Angie K a binge warming bitch. But you know, so
yeah, no, I agree. But yeah, so they talk about Jen Shaw in that early segment of the reunion. Then they go into the whole ring, the ring being stolen, why Lisa was crying about it, and, you know, Monica's visceral reaction to Lisa talking about the ring and everything, and her saying, like, you're a part of the 1%. The 1% of America lives like you. And then Monica later in the reunion being like, actually, I Googled the 1%. You're not the 1%. The 1% is, like, Shaquille O'Neal. I'm like, that's the first person that came to your mind when you thought of the 1%. She's like, not like Jeff Bezos.
Maddie was saying that she can't stop saying all week, the 1% is Shaquille O'Neal.
The 1% is Shaquille O'Neal.
It's so funny.
And then I love when Lisa was like, It's a $58,000 ring, just to be clear. I'm like, bitch.
Not 58. They're both so, well, Lisa is so like oblivious to like the way she sounds when she's like, yeah, this ring and this ring are new. But like, anyways, that's not the one I want. It just sort of sounds so. I love about Lisa Barlow. That's what I love about
Lisa. It's my favorite thing.
And I think that's what, to a lot of people's point, this is what we watch Housewives for. So we don't, we're not watching to like hear someone from the middle class or a poor person make the rest of them feel bad. And I can understand that. I do think Monica definitely meant that in a bitchy way. Yeah. I'm sorry, you're not the 1%. My mistake. And then as soon as they're like, ooh, was that a dig? And she's like, no, that's not a dig. I just looked it up and it's Shaquille O'Neal.
Monica Fowler. Monica Fowler is not in the 1%. Neither is Lisa Barlow. Shaquille O'Neal.
Also, Monica Fowler, and she admits that's her name, and admits, she goes, yeah, I emailed production. I said, your show sucks. It's going to get canceled.
Your ratings are shit. Your show's shit. And
it's going to get canceled. And then the producers put up her email on the screen and it says none of those things. It's once again, just, you need an excommunicated Latina on your show immediately. I actually did think that was a very great way to pitch herself.
That was a great way to pitch herself. Marketing, you know, it's like, branding herself.
If I was a producer, I would have heard that and been like, wait, yeah, we got a bunch of white ladies on this show.
That's how production and casting usually works. Is like, I don't know if you watch Big Brother. You know how when I auditioned for Big Brother, I would watch all these like YouTube videos. I auditioned twice. I would watch all these YouTube videos about what they're looking for, what casting is looking for, and they're always going to want to make you stand out and give you kind of like a label. So like Heather's the Mormon who left the church and is looking for like her new life, you know. Nice woman, yeah. Lisa is like, you know, Lisa Barlow is this New Yorker who is like a new age Mormon, like that's her label. And you know, you got Mary and she's like the
leader,
the preacher of the church, and she's married to her step granddaddy, all those things. And then when you watch Big Brother, you know, it's like when they introduce them when after the premiere of the show, and they and you come back for the second episode, it's like, previously on Big Brother, who entered the house? The nerd, the aviation expert, the beach model.
Not you sounding
the,
like,
you know, and it's like, and it's like the it puts like a label on them, you know. So her going in that email and saying, you need an excommunicated Latina on the show, is perfect. That's exactly Scarlet what casting Latin. Is looking for. Scarlet like, they're Latin. Like, okay, I don't need to look much further. This is great. I thought it was so funny. This reunion gives me like old school Roni, old school Beverly Hills with just like the little, like, it's not even about the actual argument. It's the little side comments that are on the side that are so funny. So when they're talking about this, when they're talking about this email, she's like, I applied like everyone else. I applied like Angie K. And Angie's like, I was referred.
Okay. So you're the one who called this out on the mic of several episodes ago. A, first of all, I really need you to do your Angie K impression. Zach has a really good Angie K impression. Angie K speaks in a cadence. It's like she speaks in, her sentences come in threes. And Zach is really good at like emulating it. And so Zach, I want you to do that, because there's a thing when she's like, I was referred, or when she says, oh, be quiet, big mouth. These are things that you don't hear if you're focused on like the louder person in the room, which is usually Lisa Barlow or Meredith Marks. You have to kind of listen in the background, read between the lines, and you hear Angie K take these pot shots from the side that are really corny and only in a way Angie K can say them.
Someone commented on, because we made a post saying, Angie Castaneves, you will always be famous. And they were like, oh my gosh, Angie K is such a clown. Like, I hate her. And I was like, she's so camp. I don't know how you can like hate her. Like, she's so unserious. They're like, oh, she's so cringy. I'm like, that's the point. That's the point of the joke, is like, she's not in on the joke, and it's just funny and it's endearing, and like, you can tell she has a good heart. You can tell she's like not a hateful
person.
I'm a
pillar in the community.
That was so, Reed, I want to let Monica, you know, right I want to let you know right now that I am a pillar in the community in Salt Lake City, and I've always had an incredible reputation.
I kind of
please
kind of believe her, honestly. I think Angie,
I mean, I believe her too, but it's so, it's just so funny. But yeah, Angie K has a way, like Reed said, it's a cadence, and she does it when she reads somebody. So she's like fighting with like Meredith. She's like, and Meredith, you were the one who was walking around on my block in Salt Lake City, and you were the one spreading your legs. Like, it's like, it's up and down.
Your legs. And then
your legs, and you are a trampoline with eyes.
And let's talk about that.
I just thought it was so funny when Meredith reads off everything that Angie K has said about her.
Watch the uncensored version on Peacock, because that was incredible.
It was so good. And she just reads everything that Angie K said about her. And Angie K starts laughing in the beginning, which is so funny because you can tell she forgot that she said that. She's like, oh yeah, I guess that's kind of bad. And then she's like, and you call me a trampoline with eyes. She's like, that's actually a compliment. I meant that your skin was so tight. Your skin is so tight and it's not wrinkly like the other ones. I was like, girl.
I thought she pointed at Lisa Barlow. She's like, at least I didn't call you wrinkly.
I know. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, who are you talking about? Whose wrinkled skin are you talking about?
I love when Andy used Meredith's voice back to her. He's like, but you were talking about the rooms and the nastiness.
One of my favorite parts is when they're talking about this, and she's like, well, I never talked about your marriage. I talked about your husband. I didn't say anything about your marriage. She's like, you brought up my marriage. And she's like, I never said anything about your marriage. I talked about your husband. And he's like, well, isn't that about her marriage? And she's like, no, it's not about her marriage. I talked about her husband and what her husband was doing. And then Lisa Barlow goes, that's semantics.
That's semantics.
That's semantics. It's the little side commentary that is just eating this reunion up for me. Like Lisa going like, that's semantics. Lisa's little chuckle went, Angie K went, hold on, baby gorgeous. And she's like, okay.
It's my time to talk. Angie K.
She's like, this isn't serious.
Yeah, I actually think Angie K is quite respectful even when she's like firm with people. I think Angie K, to your point, I think she's got a good heart. I think she's a good person.
I think she's a good person. I also think that this is just one of those casts where I feel like everyone deserves to be there.
Everyone deserves to be there.
Everyone deserves to say something. Everyone has something to say. I mean, they played a montage of all the feuds, and I don't think there's one single person on the cast that didn't have a feud this season.
No.
And a good one at that. Like, I think all of them had really good feuds. It was just such a stellar, the whole cast, ensemble.
One of my besties texted me and said, so sounds like Salt Lake is worth it. And I thought he just meant the new season. I was like, oh my God, yes. And he goes, well, do I have to go back and watch everything? And I was like, oh fuck, I thought you had. I guess he only watches Beverly Hills. I didn't realize this. So he's like, do I really need to do that, Reed? Or is this just another, like Reed, you know, Reed likes to watch everything. Is it really necessary? And I'm really torn because I don't want him to not get to season four. But I also said to him, I said, I think you really will miss a deep layer to this story, because Salt Lake feels like a story, and seasons 1, 2, 3 all led us to 4. And y'all know I was a Salt Lake hater. And I see the vision now. I see every thread from every season gets tied back, and all these women deserve to be here. They're all connected to the origin of the show, even Monica with her connections to Jen Shaw and Angie K. So I don't know. I think I told him ultimately you should watch at least the reunions so you kind of know the highlights.
I think that the season 4 finale will not hit the same if you don't watch from seasons 1 to now. I don't think it's not gonna hit, because there's things that happen in those seasons, mm-hmm. like we said on the recap of the finale, where it feels like a whodunit, where it feels like you're watching Knives Out, where it's like, yeah. Oh my God, the murderer was in the room the entire fucking time. They've been here the entire time. So it's like,
great job, Jenna.
Great. It's me. Surprise, bitch. Like, it's like, you know, like with the whole security footage of the bag getting stolen, the clutch getting stolen.
The black eye.
With Jen Shah, you have to know the history of Jen Shah. You have to know like her chaotic, crazy side. You have to know like the chokehold that she had on these women.
Do you consider this part of the Jen Shah saga, or do you consider this the official sequel? I think I understand it's the sequel to the Jen Shah saga, but in a way, it's almost like we're not quite done with Jen Shah yet because this has.
I'm gonna nerd out with you for a second. I was gonna say Star Wars.
Okay.
So there's like, you know, there's three different, you know, there's the prequels, the sequels, and then the afterquels, whatever they're called. I don't know. The reboot.
Yeah, we're not talking about that.
You know what I'm saying? But so there's the understanding. So that you have your, this is so nerdy.
The original trilogy, the prequel trilogy.
You have your original trilogy with Darth Vader. Then you have your other trilogy where it's like, how did Darth Vader become Darth Vader? Okay. Mm-hmm. Then you have your afterwards trilogy. Okay. Darth Vader, even when he's like not in it, like Darth Vader's like not in the first three. Like technically he is, but it's just like the looming essence of Darth Vader. We're like, then you have the main villain of the Darth Vader saga, which is like the original trilogy. Then you still have like the aftermath of it,
the ghost of Vader.
Yeah, like so. Like I feel
Kylo,
like it's like
Kylo Ren wanted like, to be Vader, and Monica.
I feel like it's a new, yeah. I feel like it's a new saga, but it's still like. And I said this on the recap. You could go listen to it now. It's streaming on the finale recap. But I said that Jen Shah is always going to have an omnipresence. A ghost-like presence over these women. She's always going to be looming. She's always going to have kind of like this weird essence in Salt Lake City. I don't think it's ever going to go away.
Yes and no. I think that that could be true. We'll see with the next season. It could also be true, though, that they just shed the ghost from themselves. They exorcised her. It's sort of like in The Conjuring when they get the demon out. I feel like Monica was their last dragon to slay with regard to how Jen Shah made them all feel. Jen Shah made Heather feel really small and caused her to lie about a black eye for like a year. And I think when she realized who Monica was, she thought, no, I promised myself I wouldn't let this happen again. And now I can prove to myself that I'm going to hold that promise. I'm going to hold myself accountable. And it's like she exercised the Jen Shah demon in Bermuda by roasting Monica. And again, I fucking love Monica. I thought she brought so much to this season, but that's kind of how I see it as a story. And that maybe Jen Shah won't feel like she's a presence next season. Maybe.
I see your point. Either way, this reunion was part one, heavy hitter.
Two more parts. And you, we I two more parts. Not want a part three, but we're going to get one and I'm excited.
I'm gearing myself up for like a little bit of a snoozy part two, because usually it's like part one is pretty good. Part two is a little bit snoozy and then part three is really good. If they can do boom, 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 all three of them be like very, very good, I will be pleasantly surprised. And I think my girls can do it, but I'm preparing myself. Expectations are part two is going to be a little snoozy. But that is our recap of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Let's get into The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Change of subject, but
yeah,
Sutton, you guys know her the best, right? I feel like you guys are the closest with her. Her small esophagus, I feel like I'm beating a dead horse.
Okay, I have a question for you.
Bananas.
Why do you care?
I don't think it's very Beverly Hills to be talking about someone's esophagus.
I care because why? I'm in healthcare.
You talk about their jewelry, you talk about their bags, you talk about their ex-husbands. Not their esophagus. You can even talk about their plastic surgery. That's okay.
I scoured all of my medical books. I went to work.
She asked questions.
I asked anesthesiologists. I asked ENTs. They said, you can say that to a lay person, but if you say that to someone in medicine, you look stupid. Small esophagus is not the reason. Did you have an eating disorder? because a lot of acid reflux,
like,
a lot of acid, let me explain. A lot of acid reflux or regurgitation can cause scar tissue in your throat.
You're implying that she's an eating disorder.
I'm not. For the record, those are Crystal's words, not mine. I never said that.
You said eating disorder.
No, I didn't. Did you have an eating disorder?
Annerie, you are the one that said it. You need to own up to it. You are the biggest gaslighter. And I don't need to look up in my medical encyclopedia what a gaslighter is.
All right, guys, let's talk about the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. So after taco night, this has been a little bit of like a snoozy episode, but I still think there's some things that we can chat about here. Yeah. And one of them is if I hear Anne-Marie Wiley talk about Sutton's esophagus one more time, I'm going to shove something into somebody's esophagus. I'm going to be so I'm over it. Just please. Oh,
we're finally getting an activated crystal next episode. You're such a bitch. What's wrong with you? Damn.
If Anne-Marie could wake Crystal up, then all right, we got something. That's the one thing that she could do. But like Anne-Marie right now is like, one, you're like barely around. Two, when you are around, you can tell that you're like looking for something to talk about just so that you can participate in the show. Like,
toxic as
and
hell.
I just would, wouldn't you for a second be like, all right, what am I going to talk about? Let me talk about Sutton's esophagus. Again, esophagus. Like, let's talk about the esophagus. Are you kidding? Say that out loud.
You know who?
Say that out loud.
Wiley, you know who she's coded as? Oh, Anne-Marie Wiley is Kelly Ben Simone coded.
No, she is not, Reed. No, she is not.
Yes.
Kelly Ben Simone is no. Mm-mm. Kelly Ben Simone is a legend in her own right.
Kelly Ben Simone likes to antagonize. She antagonized Kristen on Girls Trip. She's like, stop it. Stop it. Just stop producing. Stop hosting. Like, and I really feel she's like, hey, be present. Hey, stop. Stop. The way she talked to like Alex McCord and Marrakesh. I feel like Anne-Marie is doing this to Sutton.
No, but no. Anne-Marie is looking for something to talk about to get like riled up, to become a storyline, to become a main character. Kelly Ben Simone was doing things that she thought she was doing good for other people. Like, yeah, she thinks she's doing you a service. She's like, no, don't be the host. You don't need to be the host. The fans aren't going to like that. We're Anne-Marie. It's weird. It's weird. It's weird. Stop. It's weird. Close your eyes. Re-enter. It's weird. That's Kelly Ben Simone.
Yeah.
Kelly Ben Simone is like not. I don't think Kelly Ben Simone properly thinks things out like that. Where Anne-Marie is like, all right, how do I really secure my diamond? Let me get myself in the conversation some way. All right, shit. I haven't been at this past two dinner parties, but I remember at the dinner party that I was at, Sutton was talking about her esophagus. So let me bring that up again.
Yeah, this has been like five episodes ago. Listen,
I was like, oh my gosh,
esophagus disorder is nothing to joke about. And I also, even though I don't want to hear Anne-Marie Wiley talk anymore, you know who I want to hear talk a little bit more often? Is Kyle's little friend, Morgan Wade. She stalked me. I'm sitting there. She's sitting there in the back of the car. She's like, oh, all right, Kyle.
She stalked me. She stalked me.
She stalked me. How did you guys meet? She stalked me. She stalked me. I can't stop saying it.
Your impression is so good. Yeah. It's so good. It makes me crack. Like,
she got
crack
a little honky tonk. She got the honky tonk southern accent going on.
Cow, 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 cow. Anyways, the episode starts off with them going to Ojai for like a little day trip for Anne-Marie's birthday and everything like that. It was just a short little thing, but we do have something notable to talk about, which is Kyle just randomly blurting out, like, would you date other women? Would any of you guys date women? Like, out of nowhere. And that's, I'm like, you gave yourself away, Kyle.
She wants to be a lesbian so bad. She just needs
so bad. Just, and honestly, like, just do it. Just do it. You can tell, like, she's like hurt, like, when she was like women talking to Mauricio online and things like that. Like, you could tell that she is just hurting and everything. And you know what? She's rocking the little like chic lesbian look. Like, I like it. And she seems happier with that.
Honestly,
I don't want to say this, but like it's giving like the way she's talking and her confessionals and how she's talking about relationships and everything. It's really giving. I don't want to say her last season, but it's giving that she's kind of like exiting. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, she's saying things. in the sense of that she doesn't want to continue relationships that are negative for her. She wants to just be with things that are happy for her. Sounds like the kind of way the show is run, you know, the nature of the beast, which she knows and she's participated in for years, but she's not into that anymore, which is totally, that's a part of, you know, life. And
yeah,
I support her in whatever she chooses to do.
You know, Beverly Hills is going to have to innovate at some point, right? I mean, Kyle's always been at the center of it. At some point, it would be interesting to see what that show looks like without Kyle. Not that I want her off. I think she's great. But I'd be happy for her if she wanted to take a step back from reality TV. She's been through enough with her family and now Mauricio. Mauricio, I'm free on Thursdays, by the way, if you want to give me a call. My phone number is...
Oh, my God, Rena.
What did you say on Twitter?
It was that picture of him.
I said, Lord, I come to you a humble servant. I don't ask for much. I don't come to you. I've been asking for much. I'm asking for one thing right now. I'm asking, just like his wife, he needs to take a trip down the Rainbow Road.
My God. He might have. I don't know. He seems like he would be like the hole is a hole kind of guy.
Any hole is a goal.
He seems like if I'm just having fun and having good vibes, like, hey, like have you seen him where he's like bopping around in like Aspen and like the whole like restaurant bar is like very chill and like he's like partying with like Anita or whatever and they're like acting like they're in a Vegas club and it's like just a chill place in Aspen and they're like, wow.
He has divorced dad energy, like absolutely.
Period.
Yeah, I mean, this episode actually had a really sad moment as well with Kyle, the NAMI event for her friend who took her life. So that was like, it got pretty dark and serious for a while.
I like seeing Kyle's like vulnerable side. I like, Kyle's one of the few housewives that I really like hearing about her personal life. And yeah. I think it's just really, it was a hard thing to showcase and it's really sad, but it resonates with so many people. Like if most people know someone who has either gone through that, committed that, or, you know, they've been affected by it in some way. So I think that episode and that segment was really special in that sense. And I feel for Kyle. I really do feel for Kyle this season. And I feel like that's why she's making all these changes. And that's why I'm kind of confused. I've never seen such a reaction to positive change the way the women have had with Kyle. It doesn't make sense to me, like your friend going sober and you questioning that, and or your friend taking healthy avenues and you questioning that and making it weird. Yeah. I've never seen that before.
I guess
it's housewives. I just think it's weird behavior. I'm like,
the right now, women didn't treat Luann that way, I don't think.
No, you know, they were like, you need to be.
And they were like, you need to put the drink down.
They're like, I'm in the thick of dry January right now. And, you know, every time that I've been with a friend and they haven't been like, oh, you need a drink. What's wrong with you? That's weird, Zach. That's weird.
Interesting. Your marriage.
Now we'll see how long I'm going to see how long I can do dry January for. Like, I mean, like, obviously January ends, but I'm going to see how long I can be.
I know how long you're going to do dry January.
I don't know, because Reed and I are going to Mexico in February on a cast trip, and
we're whooping it up there, even if we're sober, and it's okay if we are. But I might have a drink. I might, you know. I think about Luann. I'm a casual drinker now.
I'm a casual. I drink on special occasions. Like, I might become one of those drinkers, but
yeah, right.
I don't know. Anyways, next week looks really good with Crystal going after Anne Marie, because I'm like, someone call this bitch out. Like, she is like frustrated.
And she looked like really shook that Crystal said something. Also, was Erica in this episode? I didn't really see her.
No, Erica wasn't in this episode, and I think that's why I was lacking, because I like this season because of Erica.
Erica is definitely my favorite this season, and Dorit is not. And her home scene this week, clearly her storyline is that PK doesn't understand her trauma. So yeah,
but I still like my Dorit with like her speaking Italian to the boutique owner and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's, you're always gonna get that.
You know, But yeah, so we'll be recapping next week's Beverly Hills episode. This one was a little bit of a filler, but it was still good and it still had some things to talk about. But let's get into the Real Housewives of Miami.
Why are you talking to me, Lisa? Is this what you have to say? Did they write something? What do you have to say?
While you guys realize whoever said why, I'm going to go. I'm going
to
go.
Don't talk to me like that. Alexia, do not talk to me.
Guys.
Gertie wants to go. Ladies,
you guys are ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Yeah. Ridiculous.
Don't yell at me.
I'm not yelling at you. I'm just saying that I'm going to go.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Bye. Okay. Bye-bye. I will go. In any ways, I lied earlier. I need to have a second surgery on Tuesday. So I gotta go. I'm done.
All right, guys, let's talk about the Real Housewives of Miami. Kind of another filler episode, but still some things that we want to touch on.
They always have some fun stuff, even when it's fillery.
Even when it is fillery, they still have things because these women are just so dynamic.
Yeah.
Like you have this. I think most of the stuff that happened toward the end of the episode with Marisol's event.
Yes.
And here's something that I just want to say. I have been vindicated 3 times in Bravo this past couple months. 3 times. Okay. 1, Salt Lake City, best franchise right now, 2 million views. I feel so vindicated after everyone shitting on it last year. Other thing I feel vindicated. I felt like I was the only one seeing Potomac slowly enter its flop era and no one was listening to me. And then now it's like fully in its flop era and everyone's like, oh, that's not. And I'm like, I saw it. I had the camera eyes on it. I knew it was coming. It's not that I hate Potomac. I love Potomac, but I just knew that it was coming. Vindication number 3 is Julia Lemagova. She is having a great fucking season, and I love my farm queen, and I love how she is playing the Housewives game, and I like that she's switching alliances, and I like that she's just being bold. My farm queen! And other people are seeing it too, and so I feel vindicated.
Zach is the biggest Julia stan. I will give you that. You've always stan Julia.
I love Julia. I love Julia. I think she's just so cute.
I love Julia now too. You look terrified. I am. Yes, because you are. I am.
It's like one of my favorite. You look terrified. I am. She's just so unserious to me, and I like live for her. I don't know. I've always seen the spark in her, but this episode in particular, she is truly like, Adriana, I love you, but like, we have to be honest. And like, I like that she is like kind of calling her best friend out. I think it's very entertaining.
This season that's a big theme. I mean, look at how Alexia did not come to Marisol's back in the beginning of the season. And now Julia is kind of turning on Adriana.
Yeah. And so we see that during the dinner, but we also see that beforehand, like when she visits Gertie after Gertie's surgery, Nicole and Julia go and visit her and they talk about all these things. And then in real time, Gertie gets the invite to Marisol's event and Nicole is not invited. And Nicole has like this really like, I felt for Nicole. She's like, oh my gosh, like these girls are like mean. I've tried and tried and tried. I don't know. And like, they're not yelling at at Adriana. Adriana's invited to Marisol's event.
I don't get how does that happen?
And I understand what they're saying. I understand. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't make Alexia and Marisol right. But like, it's kind of like, when you're expecting, you know that they were like, Adriana's an asshole. Like, we know that she's an asshole. I'm sick of fighting with her. Like, we know she's an asshole. Like, it would be shocking if she didn't bring Anna.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it would be like, shocking if she didn't bring Anna.
It's the devil versus the devil you know.
We just know where it's like, it's hard for them to like think that like Nicole had no idea. And Nicole, like, as much as I like kind of believe you, yes, like with her little like, stint of crying.
Ginkgosis?
But when she goes, and Anna King. I'm like, don't act like you don't know who this bitch is.
When they play that's a like clip from the reunion last year where she says her name.
Yeah, and they keep playing the clip and she goes, oh yeah, she reached out to me. So like, can we just like explain that? I kind of want just like a little bit more of an explanation on that from Dr. Nicole. And I understand it's like, yeah, like Alexia's point of view where it's like, Nicole is smart. Nicole's a doctor. Nicole knows what she's doing. Adriana's just an asshole. Like, we know that she's going to do this. So I kind of like see their point. Do I think it's right that they didn't invite Nicole? No. But I kind of understand wherever I kind of understand. It's the one of those few circumstances where I kind of understand where every person is coming from.
I was laughing my ass off when Julia looks over at Adriana and is like, you need to tell the truth. You need to tell the truth. And Adriana was she speaking in Spanish? And she's like, she's like, stop it, drop it. It reminded me of like, was it two seasons ago or was it one season ago when Adriana claimed her foot was broke? It was last season. And she goes, as you know, Frankie. And they're like afterward enjoying music and everyone's dancing. And Larsa and Adriana are standing next to each other. Adriana is standing up. She's dancing. Larsa leans into her and says, your foot, you're on it. And Adriana leans in back into Larsa and goes, drop it. And Larsa just looks at her and they just keep dancing. That sums up the Miami cast to me. They fight like cats and dogs. You think they hate each other. You think they're mortal enemies. And then you see them dancing next to each other. Hey, your foot. You said it was broken. Drop it.
Drop it. Fine. And then finally she's like, fine. It's just like,
fine, I'll do it.
I was the one who invited Anna with Nicole's blessing. And she had to throw that in there too. And then they still just like glossed over it.
It's like dead quiet for a second and they go, okay, we're still mad at Nicole though. And then it cuts to Adriana. She's like, all right, well, I tried. And she's like,
I brought it up. I got to it and they're still mad at Nicole. So there's nothing else I could do.
Such like, I honestly stan her so hard.
I do too. She's just she's one of those housewives. And again, she's a housewife that lies. Like, it's just like, she's just a liar.
And never learns. Like, is always going to take the low road. She's ready to fight. She's always ready to fight.
Here's the thing. I like my housewives. If they're lying, they have to be lying about, like, something that's so camp. Mm-hmm. Like, it has to be funny. Like, it has to be, like, where it's like, why are you lying about that? Okay? Now, like, there's certain times where it's like, you kind of get irritated, like, with Heather Gay lying about the black eye. You're like, stop doing that. You're lying. But like, but when it's like, you know, Sheree going like, oh yeah, it's coming out at this time. And they're like, you're lying. You have no idea when that date is.
The website, there was so much
business and it crashed. Like, it's like, stop it right now. Like, you know, those are the times where I think it's like funny when a housewife lies. Mm-hmm. But also, can we talk about this, like this argument between the girls and Lisa and Alexia, where they're comparing Lisa driving Lenny's car to Alexia driving Todd's car. Yeah. I'm sorry, but like that, there's no, like when they're like, but you brought up Lenny, why can't she bring up Todd? And I'm like, Todd and her are still married. Mm-hmm. Todd and her aren't going through like a huge legal battle where Todd is like wiring her car and tracking her every move. Like, Lisa is. So Lisa, like, drive the Honda Civic for like a little bit. Like, you don't need to drive the Bugatti. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, that's not your husband anymore.
It's so,
you
know, it's so funny because they like played, I watched her and Larsa on Watch What Happens Live, and was it on there or was it in the episode itself? They played a clip of Larsa saying to her, maybe we should like go on a budget. Like, maybe we should get something cheaper. Just like, she's touring a $7 million home for herself.
They're like, Lisa, do you have a budget? She's like, I don't have a budget, but like, they're like, okay, well, like, maybe let's be like a little conservative and like save the money.
In this episode, she takes her son to open a bank account and she's like, yeah, your mom and I had to work because she's like your grandparents,
it's so camp,
we're middle class.
it's so camp. She's like, I want to teach Logan the value of a dollar. I'm like, do you know the value of a dollar?
No. Sephora,
like, I don't know.
Andy asks her about the Sephora on Watch What Happens Live. He's like, how do you spend, or no, he goes, how do you spend $10,000 on Instacart? And she goes, that was fraudulent. That was just, she couldn't like, she's like, that was just, yeah, they just weren't real.
Another like example of like lying just to lie, and it's like kind of funny.
You spit that on Sephora on fucking Instacart.
But I like how I loved that scene at the bank, and like her son is like, "There's actually a fake $100 in there," and blah 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 blah. And it was just so cute, and he punched in his code, and it's his glasses with the strap wrapping around his head so that he doesn't lose them. It's just so cute.
He's adorable. Absolutely. The banker goes, "How much is in there?" "A lot."
A lot of money.
Just so cute.
He's like, "Yeah, here's another $100 bill, but I think it's fake. On the front it says American, but then in the back it's like Chinese. Like, I'm just gonna let you know right now, it's like not real."
He's honest.
He's cute. He's really cute.
One thing his father don't have in common.
That's true. Anyways, there's one thing that I want to talk about before wrapping up this segment is Gertie drops the bomb that she has a second surgery that she's going to have to go through. Mm. Here's the thing. I am really admiring Gertie's journey, and I think it's very like fascinating to watch, and I like sympathize with her, and obviously like also can't like really like speak on someone's like how they deliver messages when they're going through such a health crisis like that. But like, why does she keep doing this and like yelling at the girls and is like, "I lied, by the way. I lied. I have a second surgery and you guys are stressing me out. But I came in here and I just told you everything was fine. I lied. I'm walking. I'm leaving. My Uber's here." Why does she keep doing that?
Because
and then all the girls are like, "What the fuck?" And they're sitting at the table. They're like, "Okay, like, why is she leaving?" And it's like, "By the way, I lied." It's like, why did you tell us?
Gertie said, "I'm still going to put on a show for you bitches this season." Like, Gertie has always been a drama queen. And I definitely think what she's going through this season calls for, like, she's obviously going to have some heightened emotion.
It causes for the theatrics, but I just think it is so interesting and funny how she's like expecting these women to have these reactions to things that she hasn't told them yet.
It's very housewife. That's what I like about it.
And then all of a sudden is like, "By the way, why are you reacting like this? I lied to you. I have a second surgery, and you shouldn't be arguing and stressing me out. You're making my blood pressure like skyrocket."
This is so me coded. I'd be like, "By the way, like, as soon as the minute you inconvenience me, I'd weaponize it. I'd be like, I had a second surgery. I didn't want to tell you, but wow, you really pushed me."
It is very Yuko. She's like walking out with like a bang. She's like, "This is so stupid. Oh, this is so stupid. You need to fix this with Nicole. You need to fix this with Nicole because there are real things going on. You need to fix it." I'm like, "Oh my God, Gertie,
bring it back.
But I'm loving the Miami girls per usual. I think they're fun. I think they're a key season. I do think we need new blood next year. I don't think like anyone needs to be like fired or something, but I think that like maybe add a seventh housewife or like a friend of or something, but we need to shake it up a smidge.
Maybe one of the current girls could become a friend of, and then like maybe they could add a girl as full-time or something like that.
I think they could have seven full-time wives.
Hey, It's been done before.
That's just me. So anyways, that is our Real Housewives of Miami recap. That is our recap episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. You guys know where to find us at About_Bravo on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram. Don't forget to sign up for the Patreon. We have lots of content coming out soon. A new Traitors episode is coming out soon, so we can't wait to get on the mic and talk about that. So make sure you subscribe to the Patreon. A little goes a long way to help support this podcast. And we will talk to you next time. Bye.